This week on the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast, Sam sits down with go-getter Bree Rooney to discuss various aspects of running an animal-assisted activities business, including strategies for starting and growing the business, understanding roles and responsibilities, and best practices for working with dogs in different settings. They also cover the operational aspects of billing, client communication, and the importance of proper dog care. Please remember to subscribe, follow, and like this podcast if you enjoy it. A good review will help us a lot too. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of the Therapy Dogs Australia podcast. I am your host, Sam King. Max is not with us this week. She couldn't be here, but we are going to be speaking to the lovely Bree, all about her endeavors with her wonderful little therapy dog, Delilah. And I've got quite a few questions that I know people will want answers to, Bree. So
no worries. I get asked questions all the time, so I'm more than happy to answer what I can and help people as much as I can.
We can go through like our kind of frequently asked questions sort of thing and sort of you're doing the sort of stuff that lots of people contact us about, like, is this possible to do? So I know people are going to be mad keen.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to get to know you a little bit. So do you want to let us know who you are and who Delilah is?
Sure. So my name is Bree. I've been a dog lover, probably like most people listening, since I'm sure before I could walk and talk. I am living in Coffs Harbour, and I've just recently in the last 18 months started up a business called Wellbeing Support Dogs Mid-North Coast, in which I have my therapy dog, Delilah, who's a black lab, working alongside me. And then also I've got a little apprentice named Ellie, who I can show you actually, because she's just getting a cuddle. This is Ellie.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Hello, so Ellie. Hello, darling.
In the middle of her training at the moment. She's almost ready to send some videos in, I think. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ellie is a golden retriever.
Yes, I got her from M&M Companion Retrievers, who are in South Australia. Mm-hmm. They do purpose-bred puppies for therapy dogs and assistance dogs. And then I got Delilah from Cabelco Labs, which is local to me, who send Labradors all over the world. So when I was I got puppies purposely for this job. And when I was doing that, I really made sure I was getting them from breeders who were going to set them up for success throughout their whole lives.
So that's something that we get asked about, like, heaps. So do you have any, like, you sound like you did a fair bit of research on your breeders. Yep. Did you have conversations with the breeders? And
lots of conversations. I asked lots of questions. I did lots of research around what I wanted the dogs to be exposed to in that first, I think, is it four to eight weeks of life. Made sure that they did things like starting the toilet training process, starting the crate training process, walking on different textures and things like that, getting desensitized to different noises. So both the breeders that I went to, one of them has a shopping trolley at home and like parts the shopping trolley around with bottles in it to make sounds. And another one lives right near a train track, so there's always loud trains coming through. She puts, she's got like a washing machine right next to the puppy pen that goes on and off. They play sounds to them. They have lots of people come and interact and pet with the dogs, which we've actually been able to be a part of. So we've taken groups of puppies before to like some vacation care places and things like that, just to get them exposed to all different types of kids and smells, and to really start that positive reinforcement that they get from people from such an early age.
So you've been doing that with the breeder for like other litters?
Yes.
Not your litter?
No, other litters.
Anyone doesn't know yet, Bree is a very, just your classic fangirl. And if you probably know already who she is, because she comments on every single post that Max makes around her Facebook pages.
Yeah.
So you will see, if you don't believe me, go and have a look at all our Facebook posts, and you'll see Bree's business name, those Wellbeing Dogs Mid-North Coast or whatever. On everything. So You obviously like to, keep make connections. You're probably pretty good at networking and stuff like that. And you've obviously made a connection with the breeder, and now you're a part of like setting up these other future puppies,
It's
which is
amazing.
really cool.
Yeah, it's so cool. And to hear, because I'm quite good friends with the breeder, and so to hear the success stories of those puppies that I can then tell the kids when we go back, because they always ask about how their puppy is. They name
My
them and
gosh.
all sorts of different things. And so it's been really cool to be able to go back and be like, oh, Bailey passed her puppy class, and
Oh my
like show
goodness.
her. We had a photo of her with her certificate, and the kids were just like, thought it was the coolest thing
That.
ever. And that ownership that they got of like helping that puppy for the rest of its life was way more impactful than I thought it would be for them.
That's very, very cute. I love that.
I don't do things by halves. Once I
You
find
really
something,
don't.
like, right, we're all in.
You really don't. And I love that energy. So good for you. And were you already friends with the breeder before you bought your dog?
I was, yeah. So I grew up, her daughter was one of my best friends growing up. We grew up in like a really small town, and we used to like ride our bikes to the houses all the time because she constantly had puppies. So it was just like Wonderland.
Amazing.
Yeah, the best. So we used to ride our bikes for like, it took us almost an hour, I think, to get from like my little town to her house. And there was a bakery we'd stop at along the way, and if they had any leftover pies, they used to feed us all the pies, and then we'd go play with puppies, and then we'd be home before the street lights turned back off. So it was just the best childhood. So lucky.
Ah, nostalgic.
Yeah.
So good. So you started your therapy dog journey, probably had a bit of setback. Do you want to talk about your therapy dog training journey a little bit?
Yeah, so I had of it, like I started off my I guess career as a marine biologist, so I worked a lot with animals, marine animals, sorry, marine mammals to be specific, and ended up wanting to settle down, found a different career that I loved at the time, and then got out of that, and I had a few injuries, and I realized the benefit that my dogs had, particularly on my mental health during that time. And I had a friend who was in the process of getting an assistance dog, and I just assumed that if you needed an assistance dog, like you would just get one, of course. But I found out that that wasn't the case. It was quite the opposite. Like people have to fight to get assistance dogs. And I thought that was really unfair. I've also got two kids that have autism and ADHD. One's also dyslexic. And so I remember just like I used to have days where I couldn't get out of bed. I remember one day just like Googling, like, you know, I've always had a strong sense of injustice. I'm like, this just isn't fair. Like, and found therapy dogs. And so my idea was to have a dog that was accessible to the community and accessible to people who really needed it. And I've been so lucky to be able to do that. I started off the course with one of my whippets. We've got five dogs, three whippets, and then the working dogs. So I started off the first course with Alfie, my little whippet, who I still to this day think he would be an amazing therapy dog, but he didn't like the training, and I could tell that he wasn't the right sort of dog for, like, I really wanted to get into schools and work with people with NDIS, like a nursing home setting. Like he would just be on fire. That would be his element. But I could tell that he wasn't the right fit for the job, particularly going through the course and learning that. And so then I was able to find Delilah. And then I also had a moderate brain injury. So I lost just, I had to kind of learn how to read and write again and lost all comprehension. And it was through getting kicked in the head at soccer. So it wasn't
Not even like a massive,
accident or anything like that. I've had lots of concussions in my life from sports. So it was just a bit of the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah, but then like I just happened to see therapy dogs, and I was like, this is it, like I found it. And then starting to go through the course with Alfie, I'm like, all right, like this isn't gonna work, like it's a really big risk for my family where we are in our life right now. Do I really want to take this risk of starting a new business? Like I still to this day hate business. I like just doing the groundwork. I've tried managing and things like that before in the past, and it's just not my jam. And it just happened that I saw a post from Kelly, who's the breeder at Kiboko Labs, saying that she had puppies, and the rest is just kind of history. It was just like there's a lining of stars that everything just sort of worked out.
Am I correct in remembering that you did the course with Alfie and then had your brain injury?
Yes, and then I
And
had
then
to ask you
we put
nicely,
you.
like, and do it
And of course, yes, you
Yeah.
did do that. Yes, absolutely. I just think that that's amazing. Like, I just think that that's incredible. And it's like obviously due to your grit and nature that you just kept pushing through. And
Yeah.
I love that energy. I love it. I love to see it. And I
Thank
think
you.
it's inspiring. So thank you for
Well, thank
sharing
you.
that
I had a
with
really
everybody.
strong why, and I think like that has to be the foundation of anything that people want to do, to have that why and keep remembering that why. Like, I remember writing down in my diary my idea of having a community dog that can help people that needed it. And I still, there's still days that I'm like, man, I don't know, like, maybe I should just get a normal job, but I just keep thinking back to that and I'm like, there's no way. Yeah, it's been really cool.
It's very special, Brie. Quite special. So had to overcome some stuff. You had to get a different dog. And then fast forward, Delilah, I think is, are you in both calendars? I think you're in both calendars,
Yeah.
aren't you?
Yes. I was like,
Point proven. And then Brie actually
"This
forgot to order her calendar for this year. Did your calendar arrive?
not yet.
Has
I
it arrived
checked this
yet?
morning, actually.
I think I sent it on Saturday.
I got my bandana
I
because
can't
I
remember.
lost my bandana, like the most
Oh,
important thing that I have, and then I had to reorder that. And then 2 days later, it was like, oh yeah, I forgot to order a calendar.
I think this is your month, isn't it?
I
I
don't know
think
because
you're
I don't have
February.
the
I think you're
calendar.
Feb. Yeah.
Oh my
Well,
goodness.
I can't show you because I sent you mine. I've got one upstairs somewhere.
I
Yeah, it's so easy to get them reprinted. But I had, it must have been yours that I, because I had ordered them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Oh,
that was all, it must have been yours that I had left, you know?
yeah.
So
I
anyway.
got to the point in the checkout where I had to put in my code, and I was like, oh, can I be bothered to find the email? No, I will get to this. And then 3 months later, I was like, I missed out. You can
That's
still
on
run
its way.
a business. Life is okay. You also forget things. You can still.
I also specially put yours in. I made it waterproof. No one else's was, so you got special treatment.
You so much. It will get wet.
Yeah, well, so it should arrive. It should arrive safely when it gets to you. So yeah.
Thank
Anyway,
you.
so been on a journey. Now, what people are going to want to know is what you're doing with your dogs, dogs, because the question people ask us is, so I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a speechie, I'm not a whatever, I'm not an educator. Can I do this as a job? So what's your answer to that?
Yes, you can, because I'm doing it. I don't have any of those qualifications. It was actually something in the course that you said, and I'm pretty sure you said it both times, but like, don't quote me on that. And it said, if you're not excited about having dog handler or therapy dog handler on your resume, like, you're in the wrong course. And that was like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. Like, that's the thing. That's the only thing I want on there. And so what I've tried to do is specialize in integrating therapy dogs into different environments. So we go to schools, we have NDIS clients, we go to allied health appointments with NDIS clients. We've got a regular preschool that we visit, nursing homes, we've done community events as well, just all sorts of things. And I think because it comes in the package that is really easy for particularly places like school to implement, because I've got a document that addresses all of the requirements to have dogs at school and how we meet those. I've got the risk assessments there. We've done the training, and now I've got a really strong background of doing this behind me as well. Whereas a lot of particularly schools, when they go into it, they're like, oh yeah, let's get a dog. Like, well, what do we do with it? And I know what to do with them. And I know, like, they don't have to think about it. It's kind of like a set and forget. So we can walk into a classroom and, you know, just this week we walked into a classroom and we actually had, so we're in six different schools, different. So some of them only see us monthly, some weekly, different lengths of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we really have to manage, like, the dog schedule, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we walked into a class that's in inclusive education, and there was two kids in there that Delilah had seen at primary school. So automatically they were just so excited that she's
in
high school,
right?
And they get a bit more freedom with the dog at high school as well. So their lesson had just started. It was an English lesson. The teacher was like, all right, you can read to Delilah while I, like, get this stuff organized. So they were so excited. They sat down. They read their books great. They did a really great job, and we'd finished early. And so I said to the teacher, is it all right if I take these guys outside for play? Because the playground's got connecting doors to the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went outside. We played fetch. We did running races. We got a big tub full of water for Delilah, and she splashes it everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Hilarious. And then we got back into class, and the teacher's like, right, now we're going to do a recount about what you're doing for the weekend. And I was like, can they do a recount on what they just did with Delilah? They're like, yeah, come do that. And these amazing kids sat down and wrote these, like, awesome recounts about the morning that they've had with Delilah, and then, you know, finished early and then got to sit with her on the beanbags afterwards, and they all just, like, laid down on the beanbags.
Oh, my God.
So it's really cool to be able to go in and have suggestions and things like that to integrate into, like, classwork that they were already supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
But there's lots of different things that we can do because we're not a teacher and we're not an SLSO and we don't have other responsibilities at the school. So we can kind of class hop. We're always on call if there's a kid that, you know, needs help for whatever reason. They call us in and we come in. And I think that's a real benefit for schools not to have their teachers that or their principals or whoever that already have massive jobs. I don't know any teacher that can say, like, I've got heaps of spare time. Yeah, we've got lots of ways that we can help because we're not already employed by the school.
That sounds like my dream job.
Yeah,
so
you should do it. It's really fun.
That sounds amazing. Like,
we've got, like,
what a cool way to spend your time.
Yeah, and every school, like, we can customize it to every school, every group of kids. Like, it really just comes down to your creativity, and experience as well helps a lot. But yeah, if you've got a creative mind and can easily adapt things to situations, like, it's just the most fun you'll ever have. And one of my favorite things is just the string of smiles that goes through wherever you are. And sometimes, you know, a kid getting a 2 second pat is as impactful as a kid getting 2 hours with her. It's incredible. And the other thing that surprised me is that you just never know what kid. Sometimes the kids that you think it's not having an impact on, it actually has the most impact on that child. Mm-hmm. So we had a young boy that we work with, a group of kids in a primary school that are going through some pretty tough stuff. And so we work with them and the school psychologist, and one of them moved schools. And I know that this child loved hanging out with Delilah, but his mom actually contacted me and said, like, he's crying. Is that, like, how do we get you into this new school? Like, what do I need to do? Who do I need to ask? And I was like, just take her. Like, he can have her.
Just have the dog.
it's just been beautiful. And even to see the relationships just in the community, you know, like, we take her for a walk and everyone knows her, and then the kids know it. They're like, how do you know Delilah? Like, she comes to my school. What school do you do? Like, just the conversations is amazing. We had so in two schools we work in inclusive education, and I actually started up a letter book, like an old school letter book to go between the schools because I'm like, these kids, like, yes, they know their cohort, but when they go out into their group programs or whatever they're going to do after school, like, isn't it really cool if we can kind of already create friendships with kids from different schools? So we started, the teachers were awesome in letting me, like, okay. so we started this letter book, and it actually, in one of the schools, became their last lesson on a Monday. Every Monday we would go into their class and do this letter book. And they thought of the most amazing ideas I got to know like a whole different cohort of kids. We were planning to have like a celebration at the end of the year where they could all actually meet face to face, but
Goodness.
that actually, well, it hasn't happened yet. I won't say it didn't
Yeah.
happen, but it was just so cool to see their creativity. And then even kids that wouldn't normally like writing would be like, I want to write this part, or I can't write, but I'll draw a picture, or can I take the photo? Let's dress Delilah up. Like, they just have such
My
amazing creative
gosh.
ideas. And like the confidence and the excitement that they got from getting that letter book was just next level, particularly because kids these days are just used to getting things straight away. And so
Yes.
the next time I went there, I was like, where's the letter book? And they're like, well,
Oh,
they haven't replied yet. And they're like, what? And so like every time there's like, where is it? Where is it? And then it finally came and they were just like so excited. And it
that's
was
a
just
really fun idea.
so cool. Yeah,
That's
lots of
really
fun.
cute. Pen pals. Yeah, that's
Yeah, that's
so
it.
cute. So, this is like super exciting for people to be hearing about. What about some of the logistics? Like, I fully agree with what you're saying about this just gets, once you get going, it gets easier. You have the experience, you know the impact that you have with your dog, you know what services you can provide, and you know that the dog, you and the dog as a team provide value. And so I think when you know your value, it's easier for you to sell yourself to like the next school or the next wherever. But I do understand for people like getting started, that's so tricky because they don't know like, how do I sell this? Because there are volunteers. So the whole industry is flooded with volunteers, which is great. But how do we set ourselves apart from like the reading dog that comes in, or you know, just the visit dog? Like, how do you get the school? How do you communicate your value to the school?
That's such a giant question. I
Like, do
think,
you sell a program, or do you like, do you know what I
well,
mean?
we've got
Packages?
programs, but generally, no. Generally, I say that the best thing to do, and obviously with experience, is to tailor it to each school. I said these are some examples of things that we've done at other schools, but let me come into your school. Why are you getting a therapy dog? Like, what's behind the idea of getting a therapy dog? Do you want pictures? Of a dog sitting with kids in the library. How do you want to integrate this? What does it look like to you? These are my ideas. Let's meet somewhere in the middle and talk about it. I think to start, I would probably so like for me, there's a kind of like a hierarchy of like these places are easier to start. And so when I started doing nursing homes. So I sent hundreds of emails to people off the bat. A nursing home was the first place that said yes. I didn't stop sending my emails, but I was like, okay, this is it. Like, let's go do this. And like that practical experience, like nothing beats that.
Hundred
Like
percent.
actually going in and seeing the difference that your dog makes. Will give you the confidence that you need to then go to the next step. So my next step was NDIS clients. I was really lucky that my husband works in that field, and so he was able to help me a bit with navigating the NDIS. Not that, like, I mean, who needs to navigate that system? It's wonderful. So I had the nursing home. I got like one client, and you start to build this picture of like this difference that my dog and I can make for people is enormous. So we started getting, we had a client that had autistic burnout that hadn't been out of their house for 2 years, and we started getting her outside. We had people with severe social anxieties that were the same. Like they couldn't walk to the, they couldn't go shopping, couldn't walk in the shops. So we started taking them to the beach with the dogs and building that human animal bond, and then being like, oh, Tyler's never had a puppuccino. Like, should we take it for a puppuccino? And if you've never taken your dog for a puppuccino, like, it is freaking
It's
hilarious.
hilarious.
And the client just thought it was the best thing ever. And so it started where, like, we'd take, the dog for a puppuccino, and then like, oh, let's go see if this place in this shop. We're really lucky. We've got a shopping center that allows dogs, and so we were able to, like, that probably happened over 6 months, realistically. There was other clients that wanted to, or sorry, parents of clients who wanted to get their loved one just out and about more. And so I've got a background. We've done lots of running and things like that. And we have a cross-coast running festival. And I was like, wonder if we could get her involved in this. So I wrote a letter saying who we were and asked if we could get permission for Delilah to go in this as a like a fun run.
Yeah.
So we got permission to get in that, and then we brought our client into that. You know, she
has
an exercise goal. Yeah. So we were able to do things like that. It's just it really does snowball. It's a big the thing about Coffs Harbour is that it's lots of word of mouth.
Yeah.
And I've lived here pretty much my whole life. So I'm really lucky that I know lots of people to get that kind of start and those first few building blocks. But it does grow, from my experience, it has grown like that. None of the schools that I ever emailed in the first 6 months, I didn't even get a reply from them. Another tip is probably like find out who you need to email.
Okay. Yeah.
Another one. Find
who
out who the main players are. And yeah.
Like, would that be like the head, like the people in inclusive education, or like who?
So like we like the wellbeing hub, sometimes it's the principal, sometimes it's the deputy principal.
Yeah.
Our one of the schools, our deputy principal is also head of wellbeing. Just ask who, like you can just call the phone number and ask, like, who's your head of wellbeing? Or inclusive education is also a really good place to start, because typically they have more funding. And the thing about schools is funding.
Yes.
So the other thing that I did is just started with my prices super low.
Okay. Yeah.
I looked at Canine Comprehension, for example, and other kind of businesses like that. And I was like, oh,
I don't think you start at those prices.
And I'm happy to share, I started at $55 an hour.
Yeah.
And it was just trying to get my foot in the door. And I was really lucky with the school that I first got into. That was actually one of my old high schools. So I still had a few connections in there. And then that was a really nice way to be like, for that school as well, to be able to be like, oh, this is one of our like ex-students.
What about our alumni?
Yeah. So that
really, I wonder if my school know anything about me. They hated me. Oh, well.
I did have to point out my picture on the wall a few times. Like, I did go, like, that's me.
Shout out to Delilah. Look, there's mummy.
Yeah. Well, her picture is now on the front of the school, because they've been bored with all the teachers, and it's a picture of Delilah, and it says Delilah and Bree. Like, no one knows my name.
Delilah and friend.
Yeah. And that person that walks her around. But that's kind of the point, right? Like, and that's my personality as well. Like, I don't want to be up in bright and shiny lights and like wearing tutus around saying, look at me. Like, please look at my dog first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's pretty funny. I still ring schools and I was like, oh, hi, I'm Bree, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, who? I'm like, I bring Delilah in. Oh, yeah.
Hilarious.
So it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So before we keep going, I want to recap. We've got get started at nursing homes. I like to send people to go and start at nursing homes as well. One of the things that I like about nursing homes is they're easier to get into. Usually I don't think they pay for you to visit, but you know, you can ask for a cost recovery fee. When I am speaking to nursing homes that say sometimes they might contact us and say, do you have teams in our area or whatever? I'll say straight back to them, yeah, what's your budget? And they'll go, oh, I thought it was free. And I'd go, well, sometimes it can be, but it costs the teams a lot of money to maintain their registrations and keep their dogs up to speed and blah, blah, blah.
Can I just say quickly, the other thing that helps with that is telling them that you have insurance.
Yes.
Because a lot of teams that volunteered don't have insurance. And so that is one, like, absolutely necessary. Two, like, it's more cost effective than you think as an outlaying cost to start a business. But three, I think it helps to show that you're serious about this. You've looked at the risks. Even having things like risk assessments to send to them and things like that can really help them to know that, like, okay, I'm actually employing a business to do this now. It's not just blow, you know, Bob off the street with his Cavalier or whatever.
Sorry, Bob. Get your act together, mate.
No, of course.
So we've got, buy your insurance, have your certificate, have these things ready to show people. And I always say to nursing homes that I recommend a cost recovery fee of about $50 per visit. And I think once I discuss with them what it costs the team, which I don't have like a formal breakdown, but, you know, you've got your ongoing reassessment fees, your insurance fees, your grooming and whatever, blah, 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 all this other stuff that you've got to do, plus travel. That's just cost recovery, basically. So,
Yeah, pretty much.
and I've had that be responded to quite well. So, I would like to encourage people to, talk about fee, talk about, bring that up and sell yourself a bit. The nursing home thing as well is fairly low rent on the dog, fairly low rent on the dog. It's still super exhausting. There's surfaces, there's lots of impulse control. But because it's a nursing home visit, the residents are typically quite stationary and we can move around with the dog, and there's not a lot of invasive handling of the dog. Not none. If you go on the dementia ward, there's plenty. So, little tip, maybe don't start in there. But yeah, I like it. And I think it really helps people to build their, like you said, the experience. Like you get so much out of it. The residents love it, and you feel like a star citizen for doing it. And also, it lets you practice your handling skills, and you'll find holes in either your handling or your dog's education or whatever, and then you can
Definitely.
start working on those, and that'll just build your confidence so much.
Yeah. And also, I would also say, like, don't be afraid to keep even those little moments in your brain. And when you finish your session, email the lifestyle manager or whoever it is and say, oh, I saw Jane today and she was so excited to see Delilah. And we did this and that. And then Pat, who's got,
The motor control, motor
yeah, who's lost motor
skills.
control, actually grabbed the ball and threw it. And, like, she dropped it. But, or Betty actually smiled when we came in today. Or, Roger remembered Delilah's name today. Little things that make you smile, like, write those down, because when someone's paying you to do a job, these are things that you need to relay back to them and say, this is why you're paying me. Also, I would say, like, take resources with you. Like, what are you going to do with the client, with the nursing home
Resident.
residents? So sometimes we try and get them all in the same place and they might play a little game of fetch. Sometimes we try and get them all in the same place and I've got, like, some books that we read, some little excerpts out of books. A really good book is called Dogs with Jobs, and they have really amazing stories about different dogs with jobs. And so I read those. Delilah walks around and gets all her pats, and like, everyone's out together. Also encourage them to take photos for their lifestyle magazines and things like that. Like, you do actually have to sell. There's an element of selling what you're doing. And once you've done that, like, they, and the other thing is, once they get that human animal bond, and it works, yes, with the residents, but also with your lifestyle coordinators and the people in the front desk and the chef. All those people come out to greet Delilah as soon as we get there. Once they build the relationship with your dog, like, you're pretty much in,
You're
That's a
in,
really important step, I think. Particularly coming from a business perspective and going in there knowing, like, I need to impress these people, like, being prepared. One thing that I got early on in the piece that I think has made a huge difference is I got a Therapy Dogs Australia bag. And, like, boom, now I look more professional. Like, I wore shoes, which I hate doing. But maybe cut that bit out.
No way.
I rocked up on time. I'd done my COVID test before I came. Like, all those little things, like, people take notice of those things. The other thing, I've got some resources here that would be good to share. The other thing is that, like, I don't know
You've
if you
got your
can.
blur, background blur on, so now I can't see it.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
It's
that's
a
still coloring in.
coloring in, like, everyone loves coloring in. Drop them like flyers around the place. There's just so much that you can do. You just need to think outside the square a little bit. Yeah.
What about like the nursing home residents? They probably have like art and craft,
Oh
like.
yeah. Yep. We've done coloring in with them. We've done,
It's called air dry clay. It's not
Yeah.
canlight air dry clay. It's different.
Like, learn from my mistake. It's colored and you get it, like, from Spotlight or Temu, and it's, like, the best consistency. And you can roll a circle with them, put on little eyes, like, and make little Delilahs, and then
Oh
you
my
sit them on
God.
there, and then you sit we've done this with kids at school too, and then they can keep them in their rooms, and so it reminds them. And so when you come in the next time, the nurse is like, oh, Doris has been looking at her Delilah, wondering when you're coming in.
Oh my goodness.
Like it's just little things like that that really make such a big difference for people. Or even, we had a big wall of colouring in, where all the residents got to colour, like they did lots of colouring in, and all the residents like displayed their art. And then the preschool that we go to is now going to visit the nursing room that we go to because they all know Delilah, and it was her birthday in January, so we're going to have a birthday party for her. So there's just so many ways that you can connect the community.
Wait,
Like,
wait, 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 wait. The preschool you go to
yeah.
is going to visit the nursing home that you go to. Is
Yeah.
that real life?
Yeah.
That is the most amazing thing I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm overreacting to everybody listening, but you're underreacting,
It really just comes down to your creativity. Like, it really
God.
does. Like, if you can think it up, like, just make it happen.
I love this.
And then the other thing that we did at the end of last year is we made photo books for everyone that we went to. So our nursing home got a photo book of pictures that we'd taken or they'd taken throughout our time there. Our schools got photo books just to reiterate. And, for those times that we're not there and Doris is asking where Delilah is, it's like, oh, yeah, we'd
Yeah.
really like a Delilah book. And that's been
That's.
a really cool thing to do as well.
And these things are like their effort. Like making a photo book is easy enough because you can do it on Vistaprint or BW Print, whatever, Kmart Print. But you still have to go through your phone and pull out the
Yeah.
photos and stuff like that. And, go to the effort, spend the money, make it happen. They're not very expensive, but, spend the money, make it happen. But the all these things that you're suggesting and you've been doing, like these are like proper businesswoman things. Like these are proper,
Don't want to
like,
get like all business. Like, I'm not going to start wearing heels to work then.
well, we've only just got you wearing shoes, so
Exactly.
but I think, yeah, I think these are ideas that, like, so emailing the manager, the lifestyle manager. So if anyone's thinking about going to the nursing homes, the lifestyle manager is the one who organizes things like the therapy dog visits.
And
Emailing
also,
them those little bits of feedback is like genius. It's
yeah, and then
genius.
also when you are putting these emails together, like you have to be really strategic about what you put in them. You don't want them to be too long, but they also have to have benefits that, they're a paying customer. Like, what am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
So do the research and find, like, or do the course, like, and find the top three benefits of having a therapy dog present and put that in your email. And
Yeah.
then attach all your stuff on the bottom, because yeah, the more professional that you come across as, I don't think I'm very professional, but sometimes I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. The more professional you come across as, I think the more seriously people will take you.
And you're a go-getter, so it's easier for people to jump on your ship, like it's like, you come along and you believe in the value of Delilah to start with. So that's step one, believe in the value of this. But for people who haven't gotten started yet and they haven't already pre-bought into the vision, they might not be at that place yet where they're like, I just so totally believe in this. But like you say, if you go to the nursing homes, even if you choose one nursing home and volunteer there if you want to get started that way, all those little moments that Bree is talking about, those little golden moments, they will happen. And they will happen every time you go there. And it will be comments after comments after comments. And it'll be things like Barry never leaves his room except for when you go visit with a dog. That's the only time he comes out of his room. Like, and it will be the nurses and even the lifestyle manager, they will be giving you this feedback as well. But yeah, it is a brilliant, brilliant idea that Bree's got to actually just a few of the top ones send an email through and go, hey, just touching base about our visit this week. Like that follow-up, that's the kind of thing that really it really does improve the value of your service to the consumer. So that's a great idea. I know people will be wanting to know about NDIS participants and funding and how you've been able to access that because they were a slightly more loosey-goosey with air quotes animal assisted therapy, which I've done a whole episode on and have a lot of opinions about. But how are you accessing, like how do NDIS participants access you? Do you know?
Yes. So number one, I would say never, if you don't have qualifications, never say that you are providing animal-assisted therapy. Just stay away from that because unless you're with a therapist, like that's not actually what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Animal assisted activities can come under things like that. And then from that, we work on, usually it's, I'm happy for people to email me about this if they want, or reach out on Facebook or whatever, if they want more.
How will they possibly find your business page on Facebook? Well,
it's a bit hard, but
just look in the Therapy Dogs Australia comments.
Yes. But normally we're working under accessing the community. And if you think of it, if you think of a support worker, and each individual support worker might bring their own, I don't know, flares or tools or way of engaging their clients.
Yep.
My way of engaging my clients is through a dog, having a dog present, having a trained dog present. So we bill under a similar code of that. However, I was very clear up front that my job is not to provide care for the individual person. My job is to be there with the support, to support animal assisted activities, if that is part of, you know, so if they have, for example, a social anxiety and are trying to get out of the house more, their support worker will be there to support them. I will be there to initiate human animal bonds and to help the client meet their goal of going to a coffee shop or getting out of the community. And Delilah is the tool that I use to do that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And to me, to help newbies or, people that are new to the idea, it sounds like what you're saying is that you don't take full responsibility of the participant.
No, particularly if they have serious needs. I think it's impossible, because if something happens to my dog when we're on the beach and she runs and gets hit by a car, I'm going to my dog. If I'm responsible for a client, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And the client gets, you know, sees my dog get hit by a car. Like, oh, I need to look after that. It was a bit dark, wasn't it? I need someone to be there caring for that client. You know, simple things like administering medicine. Like, I don't know how to do that. And I'm not going
to. To me, like, that's not part of my job.
Yeah. It's part of their carer's job.
I think that's really wise, because learning to care for an NDIS participant in a support role is an entire career move.
It's a big job. And I think as well, like similarly to the school, like I'm not a school teacher. I'm not going to get up and teach a class, but I can be there to support the class teacher.
It could be Bree's School of Business. You could teach that.
True.
Yeah, your job's to support, and your tools, the dog.
And to bring the tool,
And
to encourage the participant, you know, a lot of the times, you know, if we take the dog to a dog park, for example, you know, the support worker can be with us or can also, you know, be sitting in the background.
Yeah.
Let the client do their thing, and if we need them, we kind of shout out. But, yeah, I'm not taking on responsibilities of looking after a client and also a dog. I think that's too much if I'm trying to do it properly and to the best of my ability.
And I think this is really key for the animal assisted activities group to be realistic about it and not try and put yourself into a role that you're not prepared for with your training or experience, which is NDIS participant support work, because it's not easy work.
Stay in your lane.
Yeah. And that's what the NDIS has tried to clear up a bit. And I think that they should, because, like, it'll cost the participant more money to work. So what we call the diamond model. So you've got the participant, the worker who's responsible for the participant, the therapy dog handler, and the dog. So it is a really great model, and it means that everyone's needs get met and cared for, but it's more expensive. So you might feel pressure from participants, coordinators, or their support coordinators, or their parent, or whoever, to go, oh, well, we can just have, like, you can just come, like, with the dog.
Yeah.
If it's a young person, like, I would say, cool, as long as you're there, like, the guard, like, I want to have a guardian.
A parent or a guardian or a support worker there.
Yeah. So there might be a bit of sort of pressure for people to go, oh, we don't have the funding to pay for this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, if that's the case, then that sucks. But, you know, they could try and work around that by having the parent present. But if they can't do that either, then it is really not worth the risk and the stress and everything else to try and take on both roles of participant, supporting the
Completely
participant and
agree.
also the dog.
In my experience, I actually haven't had a lot of pushback about that. I'm very upfront with it. I started again on Facebook, just offering my services to people. We've got like a local Facebook group for Coffs Harbour, and saying like participants need to be supported. I guess from that, like putting it up front, people knew that if they reached out to me, that they would
That
have
would
to
be
be
the case.
supported in that. I've only, I think, had one pushback around that, and they ended up making it happen. As well, I think, we've been able to do some really amazing things in the NDIS space. We've started working with a few young people that have been unable to go to school for 1 year, 1 month. And so we were able to start working with them, just getting out of the house, getting them out of the house and having fun, and remembering what that feeling of sunlight is, and the fresh breeze, and running and things like that. And then from there, we were able to have, some play dates at their school while there's no other kids there. And then we start to integrate them back to school, because we can also go to school. So we really have this whole like holistic approach, that when you are just working in a school, or if you're just working with NDIS, we know their families and their parents feel comfortable with us taking their children back to school, because they know that someone that they know is there for them, and they see the relationship between the dog and their child. It's really beautiful to be able to like connect all of those quite separate spaces together.
That is really special. One of my favorite stories was of a kid that I worked with years ago with Sunny, like 9 or 10 years ago. And he, like, same type of presentation that you just described, like he'd built a fort in his bedroom and he was not coming out and hadn't come out for months. And he agreed to leave his fort to come and see the dog. But I was a psychologist working in a clinic. So he agreed to come and come to the clinic and see this dog. And then he just loved that. And then, literally, from that, like leaving the fort, he just went back to school. Like, he took him to a school. He went to a camp. Like, he just went back to life. And I'm like, what even just happened? Like,
It's incredible.
it's amazing.
I don't know how exactly, but there's like the story of that whole thing folding out happened to fall to like the area psychologist, and she came up to me one day. I had no idea who she was, and she was like, "Oh, I heard that like you walked blah blah back to school the other day." And I was like, "Yeah, we did." Like, and then I went on this big rant, because she was like, "I think all dogs should have schools." And then I went, sorry, I think all schools should have dogs.
All
And then
dogs
I
should
went
have
on this.
schools.
They should. I went on this big rant around how, like, your school should be doing things properly. It's not just about taking a dog to school. Like, I'd just shoot her ear off about it, hopefully politely. And she was like, "Oh yeah, like I actually work in quite a few schools." I was like, "Oh, okay." She's like, "Yeah, I'm like the coordinator of the psychologists in whatever like huge district it was." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Oh,
So it was
you didn't lead with
No,
that.
please wear a badge next time.
Good, I'm glad you gave her a talking to.
Did. Stern talking to.
It's hard to sound a certain way when you're super passionate, like, because there are people that are doing sort of not what we would consider a good enough job of things. And I know you've got that fire in you as well. And it can be a bit tricky to, like, sound a certain way when that passion kicks in and you're like, yeah, well, actually, sort of this and that. And then they go, oh, I'm actually the wife of the mayor. And they're like,
I'll have you. The other
fuck.
thing, actually, while I'm thinking about it, the other thing that I did do is do Amy's course. So she has therapy dogs in education. That's like a 1 day course, and I did that before I even started reaching out to schools, and that was amazing. Highly recommend anyone who's thinking about wanting to take dogs into schools to do that.
You're nuts
It
if you're
was so
not
helpful,
you're
and
nuts
it's
if you're not
something
doing
else.
that.
And it's something else that you can add. Like yep. you need to be putting all these things down.
Yes.
I don't like resumes, but I do dot points. You need to be putting all these things that you're doing down. Like,
yeah,
these are the books that I've read. These are the people that I've talked to. These are the, you know, podcasts that I've listened to, even if it's just for your own confidence. Mm-hmm. Because the more that you write down, the more that you document, the more confident you'll get with it. And you'll be like, actually, like, you know, people are paying me to do this, but they should be paying me to do this because this is, you know, what I'm an expert in or what I'm trying to be an expert.
Yeah, this is what I do, and I'm bloody good at it, and I'm seeing results, and I'm, you know, engaged in self-reflective practice, and I'm reflecting, and I'm planning, and I'm, you know, putting all this effort in, and
absolutely. Yes.
So, did you mention as well that you've been doing maybe a bit of allied health session stuff?
Yeah. So we the same that diamond model. We've got quite a few, particularly young kids who are just not engaging, mostly non-verbal as well, that are just not engaging in therapies.
Have you listened to the Telepathy Tapes podcast?
No.
Okay. Listen to the Telepathy Tapes podcast. Anyway, continue.
So it was just a way of, like, you know, nothing's working. And then a therapist, she was an OT, found our page and she was like, hey, do you do this? And I'm like, of course. I've taken my kids to allied health appointments before, so of course I do this. Being able to get what the therapist wants out of the session and then integrate Delilah into that, like, it takes a bit of time. The human-animal bond always comes quite quickly, but the logistics of for example, one little boy, we had to, you know, spend 5 minutes in the room, and then I had to take Delilah out for a wee, and then he did something to show Delilah when we got back, and then we went back in, and then we had to take her out because she needed a drink, and then he did a little bit of work then, but it was just enough so that he still had her there, but wasn't getting distracted as well.
I really like that idea. That's cool.
Yeah, lots of things like that. Obviously getting parental consent to be in, particularly psychology sessions. There's lots of talk around, like, will you be there or can you just take the dog in? Like, no, I'm definitely going to be there. Like, it's a package. And being very clear with everyone that you work with that my main role in this is to look after the well-being of my dog.
Mm-hmm.
If I do that properly, then everyone's going to have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's not being, like, if that's not priority number one, then, you know, that's when the risks start to increase.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think is important for people to know is that we can't have the same expectations on dogs as we do on humans, which is very, like, duh, but it does mean that they have more days off. And when you're in a business like this, it will mean that you have more days off.
Unless you have two dogs.
You know, Delilah's eaten a whole loaf of bread before and has had diarrhea for 3 days. So we can go to work for 3 days. But I think being upfront about that is a good way to do it, because I know for me, like, it felt really horrible to say to these people who I felt were depending on us being there, sorry, like, we can't come today. So I think being upfront with that, and people completely understand, and it's hard to draw that line. Today I had to cancel our morning school run because Delilah was just too tired, and I could see that in her, and I was like, it's just, like, we just can't do it today, sorry. So really, like, make that your top priority and the rest will flow.
Well, because it's the same as if we burn ourselves out, if we burn our dogs out. It's no good burning yourself out, because then
you're someone that doesn't have great boundaries like me and wants to just help everybody all the time, it's an inadvertently fantastic way of setting your own boundaries.
And that's actually an excellent point. As also someone who finds it easier to set boundaries for my animals than what I do for myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a really good point and good reminder. And I guess it's hard for us to say to people, so this is what the dog's allowed to work. Like, this is the maximum workload that the dog can do, because every dog is different. Age makes a difference of the dog, makes a difference. The environment makes a difference that they're taking the dog into, the how reinforcing the dog finds the whole
Yeah.
thing makes a difference. The draw from what the participant is needing to draw out of the dog in terms of, like meet my needs. That's different for every participant. What the participant is laying onto the dog. So if you've got a dog that's like emotionally impacted by participants, being dysregulated or being very, very sad or being very, they might have a lot of trauma stuff going on, and then maybe the dog's picking up on stuff. All those factors are totally different. So dogs that travel well in cars versus dogs that don't travel very well, like
Yeah.
all those factors are totally different. So, at the crux of it though, it comes down to don't burn your dog out. Be very, very aware and cautious about burnout because it'll happen, and then you'll be up shit creek and you'll feel like shit about it and you'll not have a dog to work with. You have to have multiple dogs if you want to do this
Absolutely. Yeah.
properly. Hey, Brie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you also have to always be looking out for the willingness of the dog. Because if, I know for Delilah, like her specific distress signals or ways that she communicates to me, is very different to the way other dogs will communicate to their handlers. But she's very like upfront and abrupt. And if she doesn't want to go to work, she just doesn't come out front door. And I know now that that's her saying, like, I can't bother today or whatever it is. I'm tired, or I don't want to do this today. And you really have to listen to that because it's just as important listening to the no's as it is listening to the yeses and listening to the good things that they do. I just have like so many pages of stories that Delilah has, picked out 1 neurodivergent child out of 100 kids that were with sat with them, or at the nursing home, and she like we always go the same way, and she pulls into a room. And then, like, jumps up on this man's bed. Well, she didn't jump up, but I asked him, then I put her up. And he just cried into her, and it was the first time he cried since his wife passed away the day before. Like, dogs just have such amazing instincts, and like one of the major things that I've learned is to listen to those instincts, whether it be for the good of people or for the good of the dog. Like, they're equally as important, and for your dog to trust you then, so she trusts that. If she gives me a signal, then I'll listen to her. And I think that's really important.
I think that is important. I don't know if I could trust much that our little Staffy tells me. She seems like a dead set lunatic. So
Ellie is a different kettle of fish. Every dog
I
is different.
think that there's nuances to everything, but I think there's nuances to that. For people listening and playing along at home, I think there's some very, very special dogs among us. And there's some very, very special relationships with those dogs, with their handlers. And you're describing one of those very, very special dogs and one of those very, very special relationships. I think we should always be trying to unlock that. Like, we should always be creating space for that.
Finally.
But if your dog at home seems like they would just choose chaos every day. Well, maybe not every dog is as intuitive and wise as Delilah. This could be her 10th time on this planet. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, she could be a wise soul. Like, sometimes we come across those dogs that are, like they've been here before, like that kind of
Very much
thing.
so. Yeah.
Little Penny, it's like it's her first day every day she wakes up, so.
I like that too. But I think it's also, using that to your advantage as well. Like kids respond to Ellie so differently to how they respond to Delilah.
Penny's everyone's favorite
And
dog.
it's, yeah, it's, they bring their own benefits and challenges.
100%. Absolutely. But it is really special. And I love those stories where the dog is showing that initiative. And I real that's very, very high on my list of things that are important to me is that my dogs understand that I'm listening to them and that they can ask me questions or they can show me things or they can let me know what's going on for them, and I'm always on the lookout for what's going on for you, you know? Like that's always the first question is like, what's going on for you? And the more you do it, the more they do it. Like they really do, they communicate with you. They'll find their, if you're listening, they will find a way to communicate with you.
Delilah looks at me a certain way when she wants the window rolled down for her hair to poke out. Like just little things like that. And it's just this nuance. But when the other thing I would say is if you're getting a puppy specifically for this job, like be with that puppy at all times, or as much as you can at least, like learn that dog inside out and let that dog learn you as well. Because there's lots of things that we go through in our lives that we then see through our work, and we want our dogs to be able to pick up, that child that's depressed today, or that neurodivergent child who's having a hard time or a meltdown. And we want our dogs to pick up on those kind of things. So we need to let that happen first in our home. So if you are having a rough day, like get your dog near you, because I don't know the science behind it, but there's a smell or a chemical or something in our blood that they then pick up on, that then they can smell in somebody else maybe 2 months later while they're walking around the street or something. The same with, having neurodivergent children in our house. Like our dogs, that's been a massive advantage for them, just, knowing what, because a lot of the time the dogs look at you as like, what do I do in this situation? Some dogs might bark, some dogs might like run around, like, what's happening? Like, you need to teach your dog what to do, what you want them to do in these situations.
Like
So,
a meltdown situation, is that what you, like
or even just
dysregulation?
a kid that's upset, a toddler having a tantrum.
Someone's
There's
yelling.
so many that's happening in our homes, particularly while these dogs are growing up. That it's like, okay, so if I have somebody at school that's having a meltdown because they have a different teacher, like I want the dog to be able to respond to this. And it's interesting because with Delilah, kind of feels like she's a toddler. Like she'll go and she'll engage with someone, but then she'll look and make sure that I'm there. And I think for me, that's like that little check-in, that little like look. It's just so important and so like fundamental in making sure that you can provide a really good service at the end of the day, but also like continuing the longevity of your dog.
Yeah, I think it's so important that when your dog looks in to check in with you like that, you're looking at them. I think that's what they're asking for. I think they're asking for permission. Like, is this okay? Like, is what I'm doing okay? But I think they're also asking for our strength as well on like, I'm here support. I see that you're supporting them. I'm here supporting you. And I hate to miss a check-in like that. I want, if the dog's checking in, I want them to be able to get that eye contact, you
And you're not going to get it right. Like there's so many times still that
know?
I miss those. So like I don't want anyone to think that they have to like study their dog for 24 hours and write down every eye movement. Like you're not going to get it right, but the times that you do, you realize it, and then it just happens more and more and more, right?
So the allied health sessions, is that some, like what does the session planning look like for that? Like is that you spending, my pen's not working anymore. Is
Okay.
that what is happening? But is that you spending a bit of time with the OT or whoever before the client session? And would that involve, you know, them asking, so what can the dog do? Do you have to have some preconceived ideas around like, you know, do you have to have like a little doggy like skill checklist kind of
Yeah,
like how to,
kind
because
of.
the OT is not going to know how to plan an animal assisted
No,
intervention.
and that's like the another point of my job. Like I need to come up with ideas on how to do this. So we had a client, a young person who they were trying to get to learn collars. I was like, okay, so what can I, so I usually get them to send through like just some really basic goals that they're trying to work through. Like, right, how are we going to work with this kid to like do collars? And what we came up with is they've got like some stepping stones in that room. So we got Delilah to sit. We gave the kid a treat, said put it under the blue one. So he put it under the blue one, and then we say, Delilah, find. Hey, Delilah, blue. Let's teach Delilah her colors. So it really like depends on what the client's goals are, and then trying to be creative. Usually, like, I mean, allied health people, particularly allied health people who are trying to get clients involved in their sessions also have like amazing ideas. But it's just really sitting down and kind of nutting them out. And then it changes and evolves. So lots of emails back and forth between sessions. This worked well, this didn't work well for the client. This worked well for the dog, this didn't work well for the dog. And just constantly evaluating, like, are we getting somewhere? Is this working for the dog and for the client?
So how are you billing for that? Because the OT is probably not paying you. It's probably the participant that's
so
paying you.
They use a similar code, just as, you know, some clients have support workers take them to and from appointments.
I think you could use Allied Health Assistant Level 1.
Yeah, I have been thinking about that. I haven't had the time to sit down properly and check what kind of qualifications you need for that.
I think it's none if you're under supervision with the allied health professional in the room. I'm pretty sure. I think Allied Health Assistant Level 2 is the one that's with qualifications.
Yeah. Okay.
But still under direct supervision. But yeah, check it, but I'm pretty sure. So, because the thing about that is, like, so what I want people to be aware of as well is that, like, your session planning and between session work are billable hours. So just making sure, like, we all make a decision about, like, I write emails for free sometimes too, a lot of the time, but you don't have to. So, you know, that's something to consider too, and make sure that I just want to make sure that everyone in the animal assistant activities field knows that the OT will be billing for those emails.
Yeah.
It's highly likely that the OT is billing for that time. You should be billing for that time too.
The other thing that you can do with NDIS is they have a late cancellation protocol as well. So if, you know, you're working with someone with depression and they only come to one session out of the five that you've got planned, you can bill for that as well. And that's actually part of their plan, and their plan manager, it's the plan manager's job to make sure that they have funding there so that you can bill even if they don't turn up.
There's a time period. So there's a
but 24 hours.
Your allied health practice, whoever you work alongside, they'll have their own policies within that will be within the parameters of the NDIS policies, but each practice is a little bit different, and there are some nuances to that as well. But generally speaking, yes, we charge cancellation fees. Ours is 48 hours at our clinic.
Yeah,
we have a 48-hour. Our speech charges more days out than that for cancellations. But we also have, like, so psychologists have a rule that we can't charge a cancellation fee if we successfully fill the appointment with another client. So there's just, but your allied health clinics will know all the rules. They can be different at different places that you go, but that's a really good thing to point out for people to have a think about. And
particularly if they're trying to do it as a business as well.
But that's it. Like, ask.
That makes a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, thank God.
And just get used to used to cancellation fees as well. Like, it's, don't take it personally. It's built into their plans, and it's not, you know, don't feel bad for doing it
either. Especially being like the allied health assistant, like, it's up to the allied health clinician to manage the person's capacity to attend. So we don't just let people keep booking in appointments and not attending them, like, because that's not what we're supposed to do. But that, so
obviously
the allied health
client,
exactly, so, and
it needs to be looked into.
Yeah,
like, and you don't have to worry because that's not your job.
Exactly, like, but it's a great point to bring up that people need to ask the clinics if they're going to approach clinics about this sort of stuff. They need to ask about it, and definitely look into that allied health assistant level one stuff, guys, because I'm pretty sure that that's the one where you don't need qualifications, and then that's something that you can speak to these clinics about. But like Bree's saying, I do think it's wise for you. All this information that Bree is giving you today is, like, invaluable, because people don't know how to get started. So you've really talked us through, like, I think, you know, things like making a flyer or a brochure or something like that, that has, you know, a couple of pictures of the dog, you know, you're listing on there that you're trained and assessed, you're formally trained and assessed therapy dog, fully insured, you know, this is the experience the dog's had or whatever, like, that sort of stuff.
Put your graduation certificate on the bottom of your email, put, you know, make yourself the signature, like the signatures.
Yep. Email signature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just all those things, like think about if you're paying for this service, what would you expect or want out of it?
Absolutely.
And then go above and beyond that, particularly when you're starting out, because the work that you do in the first few months is invaluable. That's where you do all your learning. You'll make mistakes, you'll stuff up, you'll never want to go back to that place again because, you know, the dog
pee. So maybe start in the next town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Start out in the next town. Start two towns over and then move one town over.
Yeah.
Like, you know, slowly. After about 6 months, move one town over. And then after about 12 to 18 months, don't then you move to your hometown.
Legally change your name. The other thing, like, think about it, like, please put a dog bag in your pocket at all times. Sometimes I even put one in my shoe. Like, do not get caught. I have been caught, and it is the most red face moment of my life. Like, don't get caught having a dog without a dog bag.
If they vomit, it's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, you can't pick it up if it's the worst thing in the world.
With the schools and even, you know, the nursing homes and things, like, have a tub, take a tub. Ask, where can I leave this? It's got, you know, deodorizer for the carpet in case something happens. It's got paper towels. It's got wipes. It's got
puppy pads, puppy wee pads.
Yeah. All those kinds of things. And that, again, will help show the people that, like, this is what they're paying for.
Yeah.
These are the things that you've thought about that most people probably wouldn't.
Maybe we should get some bigger stickers made, and then people can stick them on their tubs and everyone knows what this random tub's doing here. What is this? The reason I say puppy wee pads, just to clarify, is not so that your dog can wee on the puppy wee pad. Mm-hmm. It's so that if the dog does a poo or a wee or a vomit, because sometimes dogs, like even fully house trained dogs, things happen because they get upset tummies or whatever. It makes it a lot easier to clean it up if you've got puppy wee pads. They are like, they make the process heaps easier. So please be warned, people.
And also think about what you're feeding your dog.
Literally. Because,
like, not just food. Oh, there's Delilah. Let me quickly let her have a moment to shine.
Hi, Delilah. She's just working you've up. Been such a good girl. Hello. She's a beautiful dog, isn't she? She's so dark. She's obviously on a good diet because look at her coat.
But not only with their diet, but with their treats. Like, find these amazing. Again,
put it in front of your face. There you go. That's it.
Like, they locally, they're called Egbert and Norman. They don't have any additives in them. They make them all from home. Beautiful little business.
And is this a paid ad?
Well, it could be.
Let's contact them.
My heels on.
What are they called? What brand was it? What are they called?
Egbert and Norman.
Oh, that must be their dog's name. There's a picture of two dogs on the packet. Yeah. Okay.
They do such an amazing job, and I didn't realize the impact that, like, proper healthy treats have on your dogs. Like, it's hilarious when your dog farts in class, but also, like, you don't want that to be happening all the time.
Yeah.
Please, like, invest in good quality treats and food for your dog. They're working hard, and I think they deserve it. And also, like, it's so much better for their health.
And if you didn't hear that little bit properly there, because it was a bit grainy, Bree's talking about dog farts in class. So, yeah, funny the first time, not funny if it happens over and over again.
Not funny when the class actually has to leave
the room because
it stinks so much. Like, the kids will find that hilarious. The teacher will be pissed off.
Yeah. And dog farts, if we listen to our podcast with Narelle Cook from CanineCeuticals, dog farts are not so, I mean, they're normal enough, but, like, really rank ones are not normal. So have a listen to Bree's advice and have a listen to that podcast with Narelle Cook from CanineCeuticals that we did, because I couldn't agree more. Like, the food that you put into the dog, it actually impacts not only the dog's health and how long they live for, but also, like, our work is directly impacted by what we feed the dogs. So, being super careful.
Particularly when your business is based on dogs, like your dog. Literally. Like, I can't go to that without my dogs.
Yeah.
And if they have diarrhea from Not eating the right thing, like that's a day gone, at least a day gone.
Yes. Now, before we finish up, Brie, because you've got very important work to do with Mr. Lila, you've got like a lot of advice for people. And this to me sounds like maybe we should have a little bit of a chat about you putting together your own resources package that you can sell to people who might be interested. Is that something that you would be interested in?
Yeah, I've had lots of people reach out, and I'm happy to give my to help people through my experiences, but also have to feed my family,
pay the bills. So I think let's work to. I can help you with that if you need. And put together a package. We just do ours on. I think it's on PCloud. But yeah, we just do like an. I think you've seen it. Like you people buy it, and then we give them a password. To the file. We used to send out like USBs, like we used to literally, but USBs are like $15.
And even postage is so expensive these
days. Postage is so expensive.
And it's annoying. Like, unless there's a post office next to your house, it's so annoying.
And they closed the post office that's like next to my clinic as well. And I was like, okay, I'll just go fuck myself then, will I? Like,
never posting anything again.
Like, lost my PO box. Like, that I've had for 10 years. And I was like, dumbasses. I was like, how are you going out of business when postage has never been more expensive? Like, I paid $10 billion to post one thing. Like, but
absolutely.
They need to do Bree's business school. Bunch of years.
And it's your new shirt made up. Oh, that's the thing. If you have a business name, like, get some local guy. This is what I did. You can get someone proper. Or he was proper. Get someone to print you up a shirt. Like, it costs $20, but it makes a big difference walking in.
We started our black polos. They're Vistaprint. It's like there's no setup fee, so you can do it that way as well.
Yeah.
Did you do screen printing?
I just found a guy that a friend knew. Oh, screen printing actually. And I was like, I'm starting a business. Can you just like make me a design, and he just was like, I don't mind, whatever it looks like, go for it.
You can get I made the Wild at Heart logo on Vistaprint in their logo design thing. You can, but there's ways that you can make logos and stuff like that. You can use websites like Fiverr and stuff like that too, and get logos made. I got the Core and Therapy Dogs Australia logos I got made professionally, but it wasn't that expensive. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't heaps expensive. But yes, and then jump on places like Vistaprint or whatever, or any of your like drop ship custom print places, and get yourselves a shirt made for sure. It would make do not go anywhere without a shirt, I would say.
I would, like, if you've done the Therapy Dogs Australia course, like, just get one of theirs even. Because they look professional, and
these ones are good material.
I think just having that logo there, even like I was saying, having the logo on the bag, like, it makes a huge difference.
I agree. Okay, so I think people are probably going to want to reach out to you. They might be interested in your new resources package that you are going to pull together and sell, and you can hit me up about that if you need any help or anything. So what's the Facebook page?
Wellbeing Support Dogs, Mid-North Coast.
And is there an Instagram?
It's Delilah the Therapy Dog, which I just haven't got, like, I started when she was a baby puppy, and I just can't change the name of it, even though I need to change the name of it. But it's Delilah the Therapy Dog.
Do you need to change the name because of your other dog? Is that what you're talking about? My dogs have their own Facebook pages, and I haven't updated them in forever, except for when Sunny died. It's deleted the page.
I'm going to resource for you, The Invisible Leash.
I love that book.
That's great. I've brought a few quick things to share. Is that okay? Do we have
yes. time? Yeah, if you've got time.
This is another one, Willow the Therapy Dog. This is another good one for preschools. It goes step by step about what therapy dogs do, and I love that it also has what my therapy dog does to decompress at the end of the day.
It's got pajamas on.
Yes, so cute.
So that was Will. So that one was called Willow the Therapy Dog. The previous one, The Invisible Leash, it's about losing, it's about the death of a dog, like when a dog dies. It's a version of The Invisible String, if you know The Invisible String book.
It's also good if you've got little people that have lost family members. It's a good connection to death and losing things.
The human version is called The Invisible String. It's all about like the string tugs on your heart from this other person. And it can be about separation from parents as well. So it's like separation because they work away or they died or whatever. And then The Invisible Leash is the dog version. Excellent books. Highly recommend.
This is a Julia Donaldson book. Anyone with kids would know her. It's called The Hospital Dog. And there's another one called The Detective Dog. The Detective Dog is more about dogs at school. I don't know if you can see that because I can't.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. They are amazing books, really beautifully illustrated, like such great stories. The kids love them. Madeline Finn and The Therapy Dog. The Rescue Dog, and there's also one more. These are beautifully illustrated books, and they all have such great stories about what therapy dogs do.
Mm-hmm.
I've only got two more, so don't worry.
Yeah.
This one's called Be Happy. It's a little one that I found today, and it's really good because it actually uses the dogs as examples through going through different feelings and different mindfulness kind of techniques.
That's cute.
Yeah, and then Dogs with Jobs is – this is number two, but there's also Dogs with Jobs one.
Yes.
They're amazing. Natalie is a Australian author with like lived experience of having assistance dogs, and her books are incredible. The kids love them.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's my top books.
Perfect. Well, I'm gonna hopefully the AI meeting summary is taking notes of this meeting for us. and I can put those in the show notes, book titles for people that want to have a look. Guys, I hope you feel motivated and inspired. I honestly get asked this question all the time, like, can I do this as a job? I know that you're all not Brie, so we'll have to adjust our expectations, but it is possible. So if you've got that fire and that passion and the right dog, then absolutely this is something that's possible. If you're willing to, and I think you've given us a really good talking through of like the work that it takes as well to make it happen. And I think, you know, knowing that there's those millions of rejections along the way, and that can be hard to handle. But if you can push through and do that networking and, you know, be great at it as well, you know, like be awesome, like with your dog, it is possible. So thank you so much for sharing.
It's my full-time job. I don't have any other job. We've got a mortgage, two kids with special needs. It's enough to pay our bills. And it's the best thing. Like if you have the drive to do this, it's the best thing that you will ever do. Like you literally make people smile all day.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
I love it. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us, Brie. And we will, I'm sure, talk again soon.
Yeah, let's do it. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks,
Sam.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you're interested in studying with Therapy Dogs Australia or you have a few more questions before deciding, please get in touch with us by emailing courses@therapydog.com.au or visiting our website at www.therapydog.com.au for more information and FAQs.